Just pause for a moment's prayer. Father, as we open the Word now, teach us by the Spirit. Help us to embrace the truth, to be eager to obey it, as we ask in the Savior's name. Amen. There are two questions quite similar. One is, what constitutes an assembly gathering? And the other is, if a gospel meeting isn't an assembly gathering, could a woman take it? Or could a woman speak publicly, for example, in a gospel lecture? Well, first of all, the phrase an assembly gathering, it's kind of an interesting one, isn't it? It's like saying an assembly, or a gathering, because the word assembly means a gathering. So the idea is that we are a group of people who've been saved, and we have, because it's impossible to meet with the universal church, for obvious reasons, we meet with a group of Christians in a geographical area, a local area. And wherever I am, I'm part of that local fellowship. When I'm at work, when the way I treat my wife, the way I drive my car, it reflects on the local church, right? There are, however, certain times when the church meets. And those meetings fall into several categories. There are the gatherings that would be the official mandate of the elders. The elders have an obligation to provide for the local church times for prayer, teaching, fellowship, and worship. And that's a responsibility of the elders. And we can find many places. We've got a whole chapter on elders. But we can see where the elders are admonished to feed the flock of God, to teach them the word, and so on. And so each of these areas is covered. So we would say that when the church gathers, there are certain characteristics. One is that all the church is welcome. For example, if the elders meet with a couple who are having marital problems, we would hope that the sister would be able to speak, right? So that's not a meeting of the church. The church isn't welcome in that setting. So the first thing is, it's a meeting of the church. The church is invited to gather for a particular objective. That's the idea of assembly. We're meeting for a certain reason. The elders are accountable for what goes on. If something goes wrong, they'll give an account for it. And they are fulfilling their New Testament mandate to provide one of those particular blessings in the church, whether it's the administration of truth, love, power through the prayer meeting, or worship. Now, there are other activities of the church, and the number of Christians who are involved is determined by available time, by interest, by gift, and so on. There may be a children's work, there may be a work in the local prison, there may be going into the hospitals, all sorts of things going on. That's not necessarily the church gathered, but those meetings where the elders are accountable, where they're fulfilling this biblical mandate, and where the whole church is welcome, that is a meeting of the church. Now again, we have another major section in our study on order. Let all things be done decently and according to the order. And we talk there about world order, home order, and church order. Very distinctive orders, and they should not overlap, so that someone's accountable to God. It may be the government's responsible, the employer is responsible, the husband or the father's responsible, the elders are responsible. God wants somebody responsible. The question is now, the second question asking about gospel meetings, is a gospel meeting an assembly gathering? Well, my first difficulty with that is, when I read through the book of Acts, I don't find any of them. Okay, so how do you specifically answer that? What I do find is that the Christians went out with the gospel. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll be thinking about this on another night. 1 Peter chapter 2, we have the priesthood of believers. And when we talk about the priesthood of believers, I challenge you to find one hint either of gift or gender in that chapter. Every woman is as much a priest as every man is. So when we talk about the brethren exercising their priesthood at the Lord's Supper, well, actually, no. I go there myself. I don't need you to go on behalf of me as a priest. I'm welcome in the presence of God. What they're doing is acting as representatives of the assembly to unite our worship as we all go into the presence of God. That brother doesn't go into heaven and I just sit on the pew waiting for him to come back so I can go after him. We all go together. And so what the woman is not allowed to do is to take the part of Christ. See, the men, this is a love drama, the men take the part of Christ, the women take the part of the church. And so if the woman got up to teach, for example, or to lead, she would be acting out of character in this love drama that is being played out before our eyes. She's to play the part of the loved one, and the men are to play the part of the lover. And so that's the only limitation on what the women can do in the meetings of the church. They are not to act as representatives of the Lord to the assembly or of the assembly to the Lord. That's it. They're free to go to the Lord and worship all they want. They can worship to their heart's delight. There's no limitation on that. All they're not doing is speaking on behalf of the whole assembly. When the man stands to pray, he doesn't say, "Lord, this is Jabe Nicholson." He comes, he prays in the plural because he's praying for the whole assembly. And Paul says, be careful how you pray so everyone can say amen. So that's the only limitation. Not only do the priests go into the presence of God and the sisters are free to go as often and as much as they want. Thank God for the worship of the sisters. Where would we be without it? On the other hand, we are also to go forth and show forth the virtues of him who's called us out of darkness into light. So we're, as priests, we worship. As holy priests and as royal priests, we witness. In many countries around the world, if the gospel work was left to the men, the women would never be reached with the gospel. For me to stand and talk to a woman on the street, we could be charged with adultery for it. The women must reach the women and the children. There's no other way to do it. And so the idea that we have gospel meetings, you can't do that in many parts of the world. You go and try and have a gospel meeting in Saudi Arabia. See, we get so Irish or so American in our thinking. People say to me, is this the Laodicean age? I say, well, not in China, not in North India, not in Africa. They can't get the people in the buildings there. So I don't think it's the Laodicean age. It's not. The last four churches in Revelation 2 and 3 are promised the coming of the Lord. There are Philadelphian churches in the world today. Yes, there are Laodicean churches. But don't have to be. So when we think about a sister being involved in gospel work, I say amen. We all ought to be involved in gospel work. And the idea of a gospel meeting, well, yeah, I know some brethren are quite heavily attached to this idea, but it has very limited returns these days in this part of the world. I mean, if you want to go up to La Crete and get 150 people saying we want to hear the gospel, then by all means have a gospel meeting. But I think maybe we need to start thinking about I'm not preaching against having gospel meetings. I'm saying let's be more effective in the gospel. Is it an efficient way to do gospel work to have 100 Christians sitting there with maybe one unsaved person? Is that efficient? We don't have time to waste, you know. We've got a whole world out there to reach, and we've got to reach them somehow. So I think there are a lot more efficient ways to do it. And I thank God. I know women who go into hospitals, and they breathe the gospel into the ears of dying patients. I couldn't do it, but I just thank God for them. I know a lady out in Alberta, in Calgary. The assembly was just about finished, and she noticed all of these mostly Asian kids, middle school kids, who were heading home past her house. And she used to come out and talk to them. And she found out that they were all latchkey kids, and their parents wouldn't get home till 8 or 9 o'clock at night. So she said to them, "Hey, how would you like it if I called up your parents and asked them if you could come and stay at my house until your parents get home? I'll have fresh cookies or brownies or something for you and a glass of milk, whatever, and I'll help you with your homework, and, you know, you can just stay here." That started a work among those kids, and she was very upfront with the parents. "I'm a Christian. I believe in the Bible, and I'll be talking about the basic reasons for life and the basic principles that my life runs on. So if you don't want that, well, then that's fine, but I just want you to know that up front." She led about 35 kids to the Lord, and their parents have been saved, and now basically that local church is all Asian believers through that one woman's ministry. So to say, well, can the woman, should she be preaching the gospel in a public meeting? I say, well, no, I don't think so, especially if it's under the auspices of the elders. You see, I'm not sure that gospel effort was supposed to be an assembly meeting, was it? No. When you have an assembly meeting, the assembly should be there, right? And when you preach the gospel, that's for the public. That's to reach the public, to bring them in. And you ought to go to where they are. This idea of bringing them in, Peter says, no, go forth and show forth the virtues of him who's called you out of darkness into light. Don't go into all the assemblies and preach the gospel. Go into the world and do it. So that's the basic idea. So, no, a woman should not be in a leadership position. She's not in a leadership position in the home. She's not in a leadership position in the church. Because she's playing the other role, this beautiful love story between Jesus and his bride. And so she has a part to play. It's not an insignificant part. We've got a whole session on that, okay? And I've got a list of, I don't know how long it is, on all the things that the women can do. We spend all our time telling the women what they can't do. We probably ought to tell them what they can do. And the New Testament's chock full of things that the women can do. So, if you can wait a bit to get to that, but at the present time, I'd simply mention that this idea of women in leadership, that's not something they're called to do. On the other hand, women involved in gospel work, absolutely. And there are endless possibilities. And so for a woman to want to get involved in what I think is probably the most inefficient way to preach the gospel, I don't think that's a good place for women to do it. I think they have endless possibilities out there to be involved in the gospel.